from Oswald Sanders' book, Robust in Faith. I've got to read this, these thoughts that he put down in this book to introduce Abraham to you, the pioneer of faith, the pioneer of faith. You know, if we think back to the beginning of America, there were pioneers that discovered our lands, but Abraham is the pioneer of faith. May I commend to you the reading of the story of the man who, in faith, was called out of Ur of the Chaldees to found a nation, who in faith found that he could trust God to plan his life. Can you trust God to plan your life? Yes. I mean, I can see the beginning of the river. I feel the bumps of the rapids every once in a while, and then there's some calm in my life. But God sees not only the beginning, the rapids, the calms, he sees the end of my life. Can you trust God that he's got a plan for your life? Abraham, in faith, found that he could trust God to plan his life and lead him step by step. Sometimes I think that we see the finish line and we want to get there ahead of God. And in so doing, somehow there's a rug or a rock in the track that tends to stub my toe, and I fall flat on my face. I don't know about you. Abraham found that even his mistakes could be used of God when he repented and consecrated them to the matchless hands that can weave beauty out of ugliness. By faith, Abraham stepped out, abandoned much, found much more, and built that nation which, under God, was the people of God's choice, through whom the Bible came, through whom Christ was born, and through whom we won salvation. Mr. E.M. Blakelock is quoted in that. The man God chose to be the founding father of the nation through which he would bless the whole world could be no ordinary man. The man who is claimed and acclaimed equally by Christianity and Judaism and Islam must have been of unusual stature. He who was to be known as the father of the faithful, the super exemplar of unquestioning faith in God, must be subjected to uncommon disciplines. If the tests imposed upon Abraham in the course of his spiritual training seem harsh or severe, the tremendous issues at stake and the happy outcome are their justification. God staked his whole plan of redemption on the possibility of a man being willing by his faith and obedience to become a bridgehead for the deliverance of an erring world. In Abraham, God found such a man. With infinite patience and care, God shaped and disciplined his instrument until he reached a pinnacle of spiritual experience which won for him the distinction of being the friend of God. So important a role does he occupy in God's world purpose that his life and its lessons occupy a third of the New Testament, his name occurring no fewer than 74 times. In the study of the life of any notable person, much light is derived from a consideration of Abraham's. In the early days of this century, it was easy to think of Abraham as a young man nurtured in the backward area, seeking adventure in a more advanced civilization, We know that exactly the reverse was the case. Ur of the Chaldees, his birthplace, was the focal point of the trade routes of the world and would be equivalent to a London or a New York. It was a bustling commercial center, enjoying a highly developed material and intellectual civilization. Its art, medicine, and judicial system surpassed that of any other part of the world. A tablet discovered recently revealed that the mathematicians of Ur were engaged in finding the solution to a problem in trigonometry, which continues to intrigue their counterparts in Oxford and Cambridge today. From the cultural point of view, Abraham had a wide opportunity for contact with men from the outside world, but divine providence had placed him where he could best gain a world vision. God carefully selects the environment of those who are to be his instruments. Ur was, however, a center of gross idolatry and evil religions and all like such places filled with cruelty and corruption. Abraham knew nothing of the true God until the divine self-revelation and worshiped the deities of his forefathers. It was from this scene of comfort and culture that Abraham was called to embark on an uncharted journey of adventure with God. That's what we are on right now. We're on a journey through the Bible. We're looking at men's faith and God's will and seeing the journey that they took part in, which also mirrors the journey that we take part in. So today, the journey, Abraham. And I'm sure that we're going to be on Abraham for probably a couple more Sundays, I would say. This is a man of great faith, and if he's the bridgehead of faith, then I think it does us much good to study his life and his behaviors. Yes, even his mistakes. And see if we can't learn and fail forward as Abraham did. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 is a scripture passage I'm going to use, and it's inside your bulletin if you take that out and read that along with me. Or you can read it up here on the wall if you like bigger print. I kind of like bigger print. Read this scripture with me, and if you would please, in honor of God's word, stand up and read the word if you can. Just stand up and read the word together and read it aloud. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that were penned for us from your word. May they bring great revelation to us this morning. May they speak to us personally and challenge us, but also, Lord God, comfort us and give us a hope and a future. In Jesus' name, amen. Honey, would you toss me my... Oswald Sanders is also credited with this sentence that's on your outline. Every spiritual biography, which means life, begins with a call from God, the initiator. You see, it's God that has called you into a relationship with him. God calls every person into a relationship with him. But you, my friends, and countless others around our country have heard the call of God, and we have responded positively. Amen? Because it's better to respond in a positive way to God's voice than to hear the chastisement of his voice. How many of you like being called out in punishment versus being called out in praise? Personally, I like the praise thing a lot more. Yeah. Yeah. So every spiritual biography begins with a call from God, the initiator, Oswald Sanders. I thought that was just a really great quote. That's why I wanted to add it on there for you to be able to look back at this week. That yes, God had a call on Abraham, but he also has a call on you and me. God commanded two actions from Abram. Two actions. They're up on the wall here. They're up on the wall here. God commanded two actions from Abram. The first one, leave. Leave. Leave what? Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and do what? Go to the land I will show you. Secondly, he told Abraham, he commanded Abram, be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to others. You see, that's what our life is supposed to be. And you thought it was just supposed to be all about yourself. Wrong answer. The answer is to be a blessing to others. You're called to leave your native country, your native ways, the ways of the world. And you're called to enter into a land that God will show you. And that land is his presence, a place called heaven. And we'll get there eventually, but it will have to be a taking of this life to be able to experience that life. So while we're here in this life is to be about being a blessing to others. Ask yourself, are you just a demander of others? Or are you a blessing to others? Because I'll tell you what. If you are a blessing to others, how quickly that will come back to you in your times of need. But if all you are is a taker, it doesn't work very well in a marriage relationship, does it, Phil and Ruth? No. To get 63 years like you have, which, again, I just applaud. But to get 63 years, you've got to be a giver first, but also a receiver, because you've got to give the other person an opportunity to also serve you. Amen? And that's how marriage works, is if you're both givers to one another. See, if you're just a taker, that person's going to get tired of giving to you after a while. I'm just saying. If all you are is just a demander and you never want to give back to that person any joy, I mean, yeah, you give back to that person sometimes, but it's not always joy. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes you give them nothing but grief. Honey, I don't want to hear an amen right now. Love, love, love. But understand this next portion here that's in bolded, in italics, under what God commanded from Abram. The call of God comes to us in such a way which does not coerce, it does not force us, but leaves room for refusal, exact obedience, or even obedience with a reservation. What area would you put yourself in there? Have you refused God's call on your life? Or have you come to it, okay, Lord, I'm going to be in exact obedience to you. Whatever you will, that is my life. Or are you obedience with, hey, Lord, I want to do everything, but I also want to have a life. I want to enjoy things like the rest of the people around me. You're called to leave your country. You're called to leave your relatives. You're called to leave your family's family, your father's family, and go to a land that he will show you. You see, there's far greater blessings in heaven than there's ever going to be in what you can accumulate here on earth. Amen? I mean, I can't work hard enough to gather enough stuff to try to make me happy. Because what I have found out in life is the more stuff that I have, the more stuff has me. Right? Because that stuff that I accumulate, guess what I have to do to it? I've got to maintenance it. I've got to keep it up. And so it keeps demanding from me. It's like, okay, it brings me this joy, but then when it starts to get to that place where it just keeps demanding from me, and I'm not getting as much joy, then it becomes a burden, doesn't it? Even if it's a motorcycle, Leroy. We ride on, huh, brother? Peace out, bro. Do you understand? And this is a question for us to discuss on Wednesday night. This is what Wednesday night's Bible study is going to be about, is answering this very question. Do you understand your personal call or your purpose from God? Study 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, and chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. It'll give you some insights. Not right now. Don't be turning your Bibles to those. That's for Wednesday night. Okay? So, God commanded two actions from Abram. Leave and be a blessing to others. Would people say about you that the life that you are living is a blessing to them? Just ask him. If Abram would do what God commanded him, then God said, here are three promises that I will give to you. And it's important to understand that this is what God spoke to Abram, but it is also what God speaks to us today. God gave Abram three promises based on his obedience. And those three promises were, one, I will make you a great nation. Want to make America great again? Then be obedient to God. Because God is looking for a nation, for a group of people who will be obedient to him. Who will leave the things of this world and cling to him and be a blessing to others. He'll make us into a great nation. Mr. Trump, I love the man. But Mr. Trump is not going to make this into a great nation. It takes us, every one of us who call ourselves Americans, to make this into a great nation. But it's not for America that God is calling you. God is calling you to a heavenly nation, to be a spiritual blessing in this land. God's calling you out. And he's got these promises that if you will obey him, he'll make us into a great nation. Number two, I'll make you famous. I'll make you famous, and not for your mistakes. He'll make you famous because you are bringing glory and honor to his name. When you bring glory and honor to his name, you know what? People will start to look at you and wonder, wow, what does that person have that I don't have? And what you can answer them is, I have an obedience to a God who runs this universe. And whether the icebergs are going to last the rest of our life or if they're not, doesn't matter. Because God is in control of my future. Amen? And He will take care of us. You know, I've run into so many people lately that are called survivalists. And they're just hoarding and packing away food and guns and ammunition. And it's like, you know, so if the world goes chaotic, what, you are going to kill other people just so you can keep your food? I'm sorry. I understand what they're doing. But is human life going to be so degraded that you will actually kill people who are going to try to break in and steal the food that you've been hoarding? You're going to get to that place? God says, God's word says, we're not to kill one another. We're to honor each other because we are all made in the image of God. In the image of God, He made each and every one of us. And so we are to honor life, not take life. I'll make you famous. Abram, I'm going to make you famous. And did God come through on His promise? Yeah. He is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Abraham's always mentioned first. Always mentioned first. Third promise that God gave Abram: I will bless all people on earth. And the ending of that is through you. I will bless all the people on earth through you, Abram. Those are the three promises that God gave Abram, that God, I think, also gives to us, that He can make us into a great nation. He can make us famous. And we can bless all people on earth. Abram believed God and was then counted what? Righteous. He believed God. God, I'm going to believe your words. You end up not believing somebody because of what? Because they don't back up what they say, correct? If somebody makes you a promise or they say that they're going to do this or be that, and then they don't do that, then we end up not believing in them quite as much, right? And the next time they make us a promise or they say that they're going to, you know, we kind of have reservations about that, right? I mentored, and I'm presently mentoring some men. And they are making promises as they go through this mentoring process that they will mentor other men. As they went through that process. And we look forward to these men continuing on in their mentoring process. Because that's what God has called us all to do, is to disciple each other. I don't care how many discipleship things you've gone through. Would you please give yourself over to going through the mentoring process? Mentoring His Way is a three-book series that the church would like to be employing and using. Why? So then we'd all know. We all know the same stuff. And I know that you know stuff, but let's know stuff together. Amen? And continue to reach that and be a blessing to other people's lives. Because we have people that God is going to bring into this church that also need to be discipled. It's the Great Commission, folks. It's what the church is supposed to be about. Number one is making disciples of others. And if you are not in a discipling relationship with anyone right now, why? Why? Have you grown enough?
Oh, I've learned enough.
I don't need to be taught anymore. I've got it all up here. It's all locked in. Well, fine. Where are you using that then? Where are you employing it? Because it's not just knowledge for knowledge's sake, folks. You only truly believe what you end up using. So if you're not using it, then you don't really believe in it. Think about it. We are called to not only have a great relationship with God, but we are called to disciple others in how to have that relationship. If you don't have that confidence in doing that, then please get yourself into a discipleship program. Stop dragging your heels on it. Do it. Why? So that you can be an added benefit to Mountain Valley Church of God. So that we can look at you, and when someone comes in here with a need, we can go, hey, that person needs to be discipled. Will you step up and do that? Will you spend an hour and a half with one person every week so that they too can grow into that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ? You think God wouldn't bless a church that's willing to do that? He will. But until we are willing to turn around and help out others, to be a blessing to others, God's going to keep us at our place right here. He's going to keep us at this size. Why? Because we're not listening to the voice of God. We're not being obedient to what He says. This is not Don Tijima talking. This is not my desires. These are God's desires. God says, make disciples. That's not Don Tijima's quote. That is God's quote. Make disciples of others. If you don't know how, become discipled, disciple others. Abraham believed God and was then counted righteous. You see, if you don't believe God, then you won't be counted righteous. Hello, pretty much out there, right? Romans chapter 4, verse 3, one of those 75 places that you're going to find Abram's name. Abram believed God, and it was credited him as righteousness. So here's the question for Wednesday night. In what ways are we challenged to believe? And here's some scriptures to go and look into it and come with some answers to discuss on Wednesday night. Don't just come to take, come to give. Amen? Study yourselves up. Lastly, Abraham obeyed God and was considered faithful. So he believed God and was counted righteous, but he obeyed God and was considered faithful. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Michael Leonhardt, he's got plans. He knows where he's going. Even though I've tried to talk sense to the man that Phoenix is not the place to move to, he's moving to Phoenix. However, what Michael doesn't know is how he's going to get there and how he's going to get packed and how he's going to get his things transferred from Prescott Valley down to Phoenix. Now, one of the nice things that Michael came to me and he said, Pastor, do you know of a good church? I said, what's your address? And he gave me his address. I go, I know of a real good church. So he's going down to a Church of God, West Side Church of God, down in Phoenix. We've already got him hooked up into that, and that's where he's going to be going to church. Why? Well, because it's just right down the street from where he's moving. You think God didn't go ahead and plan that stuff for him? You know? So Michael knows where he's going. He just don't know how he's going. And he needs to raise some cash, so he's got a TV, he's got a washer and a dryer for sale. He's got stuff that he needs to unload to help finance his move down to Phoenix. So, but Abram obeyed God, was considered faithful. He didn't know what he was going to inherit, but he obeyed God and he went anyway. Even though he didn't know. Now, how many of you women would be driven crazy if your husband just said, "Get in the car, we're taking a trip now," and you had absolutely no idea where he was taking you? Huh? How many of you would dig your heels in and go, "Ah." Or if you don't have a crazy husband to blame that on, what if you just had any person that all of a sudden appeared in your life and said, "Hey, we're going on a road trip. Let's go." "Well, where are we going?" Yeah. Right? Wouldn't that be the first question? Where are you going? We are people that want to know information about where are we going? Because where I'm going will then dictate what kind of clothing I'm going to wear. "Don't worry about it. Just get in the car. We'll stop at Goodwill. You can pick up stuff on the way." And that would fly like an elephant with wings, right? But by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he had later received as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How and why are we challenged to obey today? If God says, "Go," how many of us just kind of balk at that? How many of us find reasons for not studying God's word anymore, not getting together with others and studying God's word together? You see, because, yeah, I read my Bible alone, and I'm sure everybody here does as well. I'm trusting that's what you're doing. And I can read my Bible alone, and I can get messages for me, and I can get insights into God's word for me. But it's when I share those insights that God has given me with someone else that I actually have those things that I think that I have picked up, sharpened up. That, you know, when you throw out, what God showed me this, and this, I read this passage today, and this is what God showed me. What do you think? What do you think? And that person kind of goes, "Oh, you know, I read that passage sometime, and yeah, what you've gotten out of that, that's good. However, did you think about this portion of it?" And you go, "Oh, no, I didn't see that in there." You see, it's the iron sharpening iron thing. You know, we sharpen ourselves up in our knowledge of God and the way that he can work in such marvelous ways. Yeah, you can have a relationship with God and just be all by yourself. Fine. That's not what God's called you to. God has called you to be a part of a church. He's called you to be in relationship with others who do what? Build you up, strengthen you, encourage you. Don't go, "Oh, she's wearing that again this week. Oh, he's got that parrot shirt on. What?" For those with keen eyes, this shirt has red, white, and blue in it. Just saying. How and why are we challenged to obey? Look at Acts chapter 5, verses 29 to 32. We'll be discussing that on Wednesday night as well. And then I want to leave you with this quote from Oswald Sanders again. "True faith is content to travel under sealed orders." Think about that. Some of us, well, we want to know all the plans, all the rest stops, where we're going to fill up with gasoline. What are we going to do? God, I need to know all the details of our journey. And God says, no, you don't. All you have to do is believe in me. Just trust in me. That's all you need to know. I've got you. I've got your plans. I've got the reason for your journey, how you're getting there and where you're going to go. And guess what? My plans are out to prosper you, not to harm you. They're out to give you a hope and a future. When you call out to me with all your heart, I will hear you and I will answer. True faith is content to travel under the sealed orders of God, and not so that you can be in charge, but rather so that God can be in charge. So the journey with Abram. We're called to leave, we're called to be a blessing to others, and we're given promises that he'll make us into a great people, famous, and that we will be able to bless others on this earth. Amen.